Welcome to the Loving Wellness Podcast, your compass to embracing a holistic approach to health, one that extends love not only to your body and spirit, but also ripples outward to those around you. I'm your host, Ava Nori, a registered dietitian and your wellness BFF. Together, we'll dive deep into all the ways you can practice loving wellness in your own life and tap into the healthiest, happiest, most aligned version of yourself through both solo episodes and conversations with experts in many fields. Let's get into the show. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. And welcome if you're new. I am so excited for the first ever episode of the Loving Wellness Podcast. So if you haven't noticed by now, Thoughts on Thriving is no longer the name of the podcast. Thoughts on Thriving is now Loving Wellness, and I could not be more excited for the evolution of the podcast. So before we get into this special episode, I just wanted to kind of take a moment to share why I wanted to do a little rebrand in the first place. I started this podcast in January of 2022, so basically 2 years ago now. It's December 2023 as I'm recording this, and the podcast has basically been my favorite thing that I do ever since I started it. I love podcasting. I love interviewing people. I love sharing the solo episodes. I love every part of it. And my intention with starting Thoughts on Thriving going into the show was simply to spread content on how to really thrive in this life in every aspect of the word. So thriving through nutrition, lifestyle, spirituality, essentially through holistic wellness. And while this is still absolutely and obviously a holistic wellness podcast, I feel like I've learned so much in the last 2 years since I started the show. I've evolved personally, I've evolved professionally, and I really started this podcast while I was still in grad school and finishing up my training to become a registered dietitian. And now, flash forward 2 years later, I am a practicing functional and integrative dietitian. I've done additional training in functional and integrative nutrition. I see clients, I educate on social media. I, of course, have this podcast, and in the last 2 years, through interviewing so many amazing people and just also learning so much in my own life and personally growing so much, spiritually growing so much, along the way, I have developed my own unique approach to health and to wellness and to life, which I call loving wellness. And I've talked about loving wellness to a very great extent on this show. So if you want to learn more, you can refer back to episodes 43 and 47. Those are the two solo episodes where I do a deep dive on really what loving wellness is. But just to give the Spark Notes version, loving wellness is my wellness philosophy and method, and it really advocates for a radical change in how we perceive health. And it is a shift from this rigid, perfection-based approach to health, which I feel a lot of people have, and I've dealt with myself in my own life, to a more compassionate and self-loving perspective. So loving wellness really blends science with intuition and intention to help us become the best, healthiest versions of ourselves. And it's also really cool because this method and philosophy recognizes that we're all different. Our bodies are different, our needs are different, our bodies are always changing too. So loving wellness really recognizes that ever-changing and evolving aspect of human nature. And I talk about this all the time. I probably sound like a broken record now, but you know, what works for you may not work for someone else. And in a similar way, what worked for you 5 years ago may not work for you now. So it's really not about having one meal plan for the rest of our lives or doing one thing for our health our entire lives. The goal of loving wellness is really to guide you on how to treat your body with radical self-love so your health choices can come from that nurturing place, that caring place within you, through every single phase of your life and every single change that your body has, that your mind has, that your perspective has, so that you can always come back to yourself. And I think we often look to others for the answers when it comes to our well-being, even when it comes to evolving spiritually or with our mental health. And while my goal as a health professional is to educate others, and I will continue to educate others to the best of my ability, I also think it's really important not to blindly follow the instructions of others, even if they are an expert, quote unquote, without checking in with ourselves and our bodies and our intuitions. And so loving wellness puts the power back in your hands. And that is really my intention with this, is to empower you to make healthy choices for yourself. And Thoughts on Thriving was a quest to kind of learn how to thrive in this life. And through that quest, through the podcast, I think the how to thriving really came through in Loving Wellness when I started to develop this method and philosophy. The how behind thriving, the way in which we can truly thrive physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in all ways, is through love, is what I've learned. Through a loving, intentional approach to every single aspect of our lives, through loving wellness. So this podcast is just that. It's a podcast focused on every aspect of wellness through a loving lens. Because I truly believe, and I talk about this a lot too, that wellness should be loving. And having good health is a tool for our enjoyment of life and living out our purpose. And that's really the goal of Loving Wellness. So my intention is to support you in getting there, in making these choices that come from that loving place, to help you come back to yourself, to empower you to live a healthy life through all the changes, to share information, to share the opinions of experts, to share the science, and most importantly, to share from my own experiences. And then you can take what works for you and leave the rest, just like I tell all my clients and people who follow me on social media. And that's really what I believe in. And I don't think that you should ever listen to every single thing I say. I always say, try it on, take what works, leave the rest. So I hope that this podcast can provide that for you. And I'm so excited for this new chapter, this fresh energy. And with this episode, I wanted to do something a little bit different than what I normally do. I thought a fun way to start this new chapter would be to share an interview I did with one of my dear friends, Carolina Salazar. She is at The Carolina Lifestyle on Instagram and TikTok. If you don't follow her already, you definitely should. She's the best. And you actually may remember her episode on Thoughts on Thriving. She was on episode 23 of the podcast where I interviewed her, and Carolina ended up having me on her podcast called Inner Growth earlier this year. In this interview, I share a lot more about my own story and journey when it comes to my own health, wellness, and really my own inner growth. And I also go really deep into loving wellness and how to practice it. So I thought it would be the perfect kind of intro starter episode to Loving Wellness, the podcast. And I also thought it'd be really fun to share this interview with you all on this podcast, because it was just really special to me to be on the other end of the interview and to share just kind of more deeply in this way. I think it's a great intro to what loving wellness really is, which is awesome, and who I really am. So we recorded this episode around 8 months ago, but everything in it still holds true, and I hope you love it as much as I loved recording it with Caro. And shout out to you, Carolina. I am so grateful that you're letting me share this with everyone on my platform. So before I let you listen to that, whether you've been a longtime listener of the show or recently started listening, or even if you found this podcast today during the relaunch, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being here. I really am just so grateful for this little community we've built. I love you guys so much. I love sharing in this way, and I love connecting with you all, and hearing how the podcast has impacted your life is truly the coolest thing ever. So if you do enjoy the show, and if you continue to enjoy the show, please, if you haven't yet, leave a rating and review, send me a DM, share it with a friend. That's actually one of the best ways you can support the show, especially if you hear an episode that you think someone in your life would benefit from. And thank you all again. I am so excited to continue to grow this community even more. I'm so excited for the evolution of the podcast, and please enjoy the first of many episodes of Loving Wellness.
Can you just introduce yourself for anyone listening who doesn't follow you or isn't familiar with your podcast?
Yes, of course. My name is Ava. I'm a holistic registered dietitian. I'm also a podcast host, which is actually how we met, I think,
yes,
right?
That is how we met.
I had you on my podcast, and I'm also the founder of Ava Nuri Wellness. And my whole mission is to help others thrive beyond their limits into their like happiest, healthiest, best selves. And I do that through my method, which blends science with intuition to kind of help people get over the limits that they place on themselves, the stories they tell themselves, and become,
Yes.
best, highest self.
I hadn't heard the pitch yet, but I love it. No, that's literally it. And I've been talking about that a lot recently when it comes to the limits you put on yourself and how that comes back to your beliefs about yourself and your potential and your worthiness. Right? So I love that. And can you also share your sun, moon, and rising?
I knew you were going to ask me this,
Leo
so I checked
queen,
last
right?
night. Yes, I'm a Leo queen. I'm a Leo sun. I actually have a lot of Leo in my chart.
Yeah?
Funny story, my mom, so I didn't know what exact time I was born at until a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because my mom went to Iran, I was born in Iran. And then I moved here when I was, three. But I, wasn't born in an American hospital, so I couldn't check. And my mom went back to Iran to my birth city a few weeks ago. And her present to me, she brought back gifts for everyone. And she was like, Ava, I have a present for you. She went. She knows the doctor who, helped give birth to me, who...
Wow.
How do you say that? Who
yeah.
gave birth to me? She gave birth to me, but the doctor who was there. And she went to the hospital that he, worked at. And he helped her find the record. And I was born at exactly 9 a.m.,
wow.
And I was using that time, so it doesn't really change much.
Wow,
but
no, that's actually so interesting because every time I ask anyone, what time were you born? And they're not really sure. They're like, I think it was 9 a.m.
Oh, that's so
funny.
That's
what people always say. So I'm always like, are you sure it was 9 a.m.? Because that's what parents say when they can't remember.
That's so funny. I also was not really believing her when she said 9 a.m. because she would say 8:30 sometimes. Sometimes it'd be 9:30, but it was 9 a.m. So I'm a Leo sun, a Virgo rising, and then a Libra moon.
Yes. And I remember, I think we pulled it up together.
Yes.
And I said, yes, I can see you being a Virgo rising.
Yeah, I'm very, that's the organization one, right?
Yeah, but it's also wellness and serving other people and
exactly.
Health and gut health.
Yes.
And that's Virgo.
My whole thing, and we can get into that. But yeah, so I really align with that. I don't know that much about Libra moon. Do you?
So you have a Libra moon in the second house if you're a Virgo rising. So the way I would say that is how it comes into our reality when you have a Libra moon in the second house. The second house is about, food and
classic
sharing food with others. So the Libra coming into play there with being around other people and sharing food. Like you were saying, my ideal hangout would be to cook together.
Yes.
I feel
I
like
love
that's
dinner
literally
parties.
That. Like
that's,
a dinner party.
Yep.
And also working through your sense of self and your self-worth, but through the lens of your relationships.
Ooh, yeah, I'm really big on relationships, actually. That's a big kind of lesson in my life, and a big part of my life is my relationships. It's something I'm going through right now, so we can get into that as well.
Yeah.
We have so many things we can cover.
Yes,
because
you've been long distance for a while.
Yes,
and now you're moving back.
I
LA,
am.
Which I'm selfishly very sad about.
I know.
But I'm excited
too.
For you at the same time. And I'll be in
Thank
LA
you.
Often. So I'm
yes.
sure we'll still hang out all the time. But
100%.
Yeah, a little backstory for everyone listening on how we met. So basically, you invited me to be on your podcast.
Yes.
And then we have a mutual friend called Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And literally a few days before we recorded the podcast, he makes a group chat with the two of us. And
yep.
he's like, you guys, I can't believe that you guys are recording a podcast together. You're going to instantly... click.
Yeah.
And it really was just
he
we're
was
so
right.
similar. He was totally right.
Yeah.
Totally right.
And he, I told him before he put us in that group chat, that's how he found out. And this is one of my best friends from high school. And he was like, this makes so much sense. I could have seen this coming from miles away. So it's just really funny how that worked out.
Yeah, I know. I love it. And yeah, so if you guys want to hear my episode on Ava's podcast,
yes,
you can tune into Thoughts on Thriving.
Thoughts on Thriving, yes.
Yes, I love the little rhyme.
I know, the alliteration.
A little tongue twister for me sometimes. I'm trying to say it fast. Okay, so when we were talking before we started recording about what we wanted to dive into, we were saying how we wanted to start off just kind of going into your own inner growth journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's been my favorite thing to go into with any guest that I bring on is what has your relationship with yourself looked like and how has it evolved? How has it fueled growth for you? And yeah, kind of take me back.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it all started for me a really long time ago, and it really also aligns with my wellness journey, because I think that is the kind of first step to inner growth. A lot of people get into health first, and then they get into all the other stuff, the spirituality, the kind of self-development piece of it.
Yeah, and or they go into wellness first from a toxic place.
Yes.
And then working on their relationship with themselves is what helps them achieve the healthier
place. Exactly. And that's sort of how my story unfolded. I got into nutrition at a very young age, and I think that's kind of like a common theme throughout my whole story, is that a lot of things happened to me pretty young. So when I was in eighth grade, I got into nutrition, which is so young to when you like look back on it.
That is very young.
Yeah, I ate like a really shitty diet growing up for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up on home cooked meals, but then for a while I was eating so much junk food, chips and candy and McDonald's every day, like just really not a great diet. And I feel like that happens a lot with immigrant families, is they try to kind of keep your culture, and the parents cook the home-cooked meals. They do all this work to kind of keep that culture ingrained in you, and the kids just want to go the other way, and they want to kind of become Americanized. And so that's sort of what happened to me. And I just, you know, when you live in America, that's kind of what happens. Mm-hmm. So I went through all of that at a young age, and then my body is very sensitive. It always has been. I've had a sensitive digestive system my whole life, and just my body feels a lot of things.
It's very, which going back to the Virgo rising, our rising is our body, and Virgo represents the gut.
So this makes a lot of sense to me now. And that all caught up to me at a very young age. I feel like a lot of people can get away with eating a lot of junk food and not really, you know, fueling themselves properly for a long time before it catches up to them. But for me, like, by the time I was in eighth grade, I was like, something's got to change because I'm not feeling good. And so that's when I kind of first got into health and nutrition, but it wasn't a deep dive. It was just sort of eating more fruits and vegetables and making smoothies and things like that. And then that slowly kind of just became a part of my life. And in around sophomore year of high school, as with a lot of people who, you know, are controlling, type A, perfectionists. But for me, it happened so early on, and it wasn't even as much about my body. I mean, yes, I grew up in a place, you know, I grew up in LA. The body was important. That piece was important. But what was more important to me was that I started seeing the effects of my healthy eating in my body, and it was like an input that I could control that would lead to a certain output. So that kind of got addictive to me, and I just kept going down that route. And I didn't even realize I had an eating disorder for a really long time. It wasn't until one of my best friends kind of sat me down and told me that she thought I had an eating disorder. And I was like, you know what? Like, you're right. And that's kind of when I started slowly but surely getting into the actual like nutrition science. And that's when my love for nutrition really began. And I started really diving into the literature, learning about how important it is to fuel your body. And, you know, I thought I was healthy doing what I was doing. I thought I was healthy restricting my calories, eating these certain foods only, eating at these times, fasting for this long. Like, I thought all of that was healthy. I didn't know I was harming myself.
Were those some of the rules that you had to, like, restricting food groups? Hours of the day that you
it was couldn't more, eat or could eat? Yeah, it was food groups, but more so it was, like, the amount, portion sizes.
Like, scale, like,
I did the scale for a little bit, but honestly, once you learn, like, you kind of know. So I didn't, like, use the scale all the time. For me, more so it was, like, just the amount, the calories and calorie counting and logging my food. So that was going on for a really long time. And like I was saying, I thought that was healthy because people online would like tell you to do that. They would say, download MyFitnessPal and, you know, track your food. This is how you are going to be healthy. Count your macros, things like that. So that sort of kind of was the mindset I grew up with. And then when I got into the actual science of it, you learn how important it is to actually fuel your body and give your body the nourishment it needs. And that was kind of a wake-up call for me. Like, I think I'm this healthy person, but I'm not giving myself the macro and micronutrients that my body is screaming for.
Yeah.
I'm not actually healthy. And so my goal has always been health. It was never to be, you know, to look a certain way. I mean, of course, that got in the way, but that's what kind of woke me up from it. And it was like, if you actually want to be healthy, this is not the way to go about it.
Yeah. And when you went to study that, though, what was the intention?
Well, the intention, it's funny. We had this big, like, research paper we had to write in junior year of high school, and I wrote mine. I was curious. It had to be on a controversial topic, so I wrote mine on plant-based diets. That's how I actually initially got into the nutrition literature, because there's a lot of literature around plant-based diets, comparing it to the standard American diet, all that. So that's actually what got me into the nutrition science, is researching plant-based diets for this paper that I was writing for, like, 5 months of high school. And that's sort of what led me down that rabbit hole and taught me how to fuel myself. And that's actually how I became vegan, because the literature was very compelling. And
it was.
That was the era of, like, everyone being vegan and everyone kind of following this diet because it's so much better for you than the standard American diet. It prevents diabetes. It prevents cardiovascular disease. It prevents all these different things. According to all these papers, according to these books, these movies that were coming out, I don't know if you remember, like, The Game Changers, What the Health, all these movies.
Yeah.
These documentaries.
They were all about, like, veganism?
Yeah, yeah. So, a lot of that.
I haven't watched them, but.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into it. I'm not vegan anymore.
Yeah, we're gonna debunk some myths.
Yeah, I'm not vegan anymore, but yes, that's what initially got me into all of it.
And that's why you went to study that in college, too.
Yes. So then I went to make a long story short, I was like, I want to do this. Went to college, studied nutrition, wanted to be a doctor at first that helped prevent, you know, an integrative doctor, preventative medicine. Realized that Western medicine is not the way to do that. Western medicine is awesome in a lot of cases, but it's not a very preventative modality. So then I found dietetics in college, actually. I didn't even know what a registered dietitian was until I went to college. And that's when I realized that that was the career path I wanted to go down. And ever since then, that's what I've been doing. So trained at the Bronx VA Hospital here in New York, and I'm a registered dietitian now. I have developed kind of my own method for all of this based on all these experiences. And along with this, to go back to your question.
Because I was going
to
say, like, I'm sure that all caused you to grow a lot, especially in your career and in your relationship to your body and what you were saying, even learning about the science, how that helped you change the way you approached your eating. But there's also the spiritual side. I know you're a very spiritual person.
Yeah.
And I want to hear about that too.
So, exactly. What I was going to say was that throughout all of this, in college, I went through a spiritual awakening process around the same time you did. And I know we talked about this.
Was it during lockdown?
Yeah. It started before, though. And I had always kind of been spiritual. My mom is very spiritual.
Same.
Just like your mom. And
we're like mirrors.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's crazy. When we first kind of discovered all this, we were like, whoa, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But, so I always kind of was doing sort of spiritual things when I was in high school. Part of healing from my eating disorder, like, I never went to see anyone for it. I never got help, which I don't recommend. Like, that's not what I would recommend to
especially
other people.
Especially, like, the mental health side.
Yeah. But I kind of got out of it on my own, and a lot of that had to do with books I was reading, podcasts, all on self-growth, and I would do affirmations. That's when I kind of got into journaling. So I was into all of that, but the actual, like, spiritual awakening process happened for me during lockdown, a little bit before, but really during COVID.
So it's more like your relationship with yourself was already kind of happening and improving through, like, affirmations and podcasts and that, which was a big part of my experience in lockdown too. But then the aspect more of, like, I'm more than my body. I actually am a soul. My energy, like, manifestation, like, that level of awakening, or even like, how your soul and your spirit can tie to, like, your mental health and, like, the overthinking, all of that.
The,
like,
deeper parts of it.
The deeper part of the spiritual awakening happened later.
Yes. And
what was it, the Power of Now that kickstarted it?
For
the
me,
secret?
It was actually, I think, Gabby Bernstein's work.
Okay.
Yeah. The universe
she's
has
done that
back.
For a lot of people.
I know.
I, love.
Mm-hmm. I know. She's great. Super Attractor is a great book by her if you're wanting to get into all of this. The Universe Has Your Back. And I also read The Four Agreements.
Yes.
I love that book.
I think that was my, like, second or third personal growth book that I read. And it's so good. I always recommend it.
And I love The Power of Now. But what also happened is I started dating my boyfriend. And he's a very spiritual person as well. And his parents actually both got masters in spiritual psychology.
No.
Yes, years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And wait, that's a thing?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're from LA, so yeah.
Like, maybe I found my master.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to get a master's degree. And, you know, I want to eventually do this program. Yeah,
it's in LA?
In LA. It's through USM, the University of Santa Monica, I think, is what it's called. But they did this program, and they kind of go through the teachings of this spiritual teacher named John Roger. Have you heard of him?
No.
Or his books? He's written so many books, and he is just, he's not alive anymore, but his teachings are just so incredible. And when I started dating my boyfriend, he wasn't pushing any of this on me, but mm-hmm. eventually he saw that I was going through my own journey and I was unlearning so many things. And during COVID, you know, I feel like a lot of us kind of were looking at our lives, looking at our relationships, looking at what we were doing that didn't align. And a lot was purging, a lot was changing at that time in my life. And he was like, I really think that this would help you. And so they actually see like a spiritual healer, energy worker. I don't even know what to call him. He's also a Chinese medicine doctor. And he was like, I really think you should have a session with him. Like, I think it would really help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the catalyst to the Whoa. Deeper growth for me. Like, the books and the affirmations and everything were amazing. I still do all of that to this day. I started meditating at this time as well, which has been a game changer in not only my spiritual growth, but my mental health and also my physical health.
But yeah, facts.
Yeah, it's like literally, if you don't meditate, please start. But
like, get over
yeah.
the I'm an overthinker and just like practice it.
Yes. It's
wait, so amazing. I'm so curious, what was this yeah. consultation like? Like, because he was a lot of different things.
Yeah, he's
so
a lot of different
was
things.
It like a talking session, like
yes
almost like a coaching session?
Yeah, it's kind of like energy clearing.
Did he integrate like
coaching, therapy in a way, all combined in one?
So you got to this doctor or this healer, and what did you do?
Well, the first session wasn't anything crazy, but he starts to kind of drop these little things and he starts teaching you tools. And that's what really has changed the game for me. And it's not like you have to find someone to teach you all these things. These things are all out there. But for me, that really helped me to kind of get the tools that I need for my own personal growth. So things like setting intentions for your day, things like disconnecting from the world around you so that you can kind of get back into your own energy. Forgiveness, that's a huge thing that's a part of my life. Like, I, at the end of the day, every day, forgive and release anything that I was judging that day, any hatred, any negative thoughts, any like limiting beliefs. I just forgive it all, because that's truly the way that you can kind of go back to yourself, is through forgiving all the things that aren't you.
Have you ever heard of Ho'oponopono?
Yes, my mom actually showed me that.
So during my awakening as well, my therapist told me about it. And then recently when I was in Brazil, I went to like a massage, and the massage therapist, I guess you called him, or the masseuse.
Yes.
She was talking to me through the session, through the like the massage, and I was just kind of sharing what was going on in my life, and she told me about the Ho'oponopono again, which, for anyone listening and doesn't know what this is, it's basically like a mini prayer that you say, or like a affirmation that you say. And it's been used in like Hawaiian prisons, I think, or something like that, to like help people move through forgiveness and a better relationship with themselves. And I'm pretty sure it's just, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I thank you, I love you.
Yep.
And it's just like repeating that for like 5 minutes or a minute. And I started doing it more again, and I haven't done it in a while actually, but it clears so much to be in forgiveness. And that doesn't mean like, oh, you know, be naive and like just have no boundaries or whatever, but right. It's just like freeing yourself of this energy that gets so heavy if you don't release it.
And freeing yourself from your ego too, because your ego can get in the way so often. And that's another big learning I've had through this whole experience, is that I am not my ego. I am soul, right? Like, we are all soul. We are all worthy, divine human beings. And you can use whatever word you want. I use God. And we are all a part of God's creation, right? We're all equal in that sense too. So when your ego starts to come and tell you that you're better than other people, that you're worse, that you're separate, that's kind of preventing you from living in that soul-led place, from that highest self place. So you have to be so ruthless and disciplined with yourself to not let those voices get in the way. And forgiveness is a huge thing because it's going to get in the way at certain times. Like, we're human. We make mistakes. That's a part of this level that we're in on Earth is, like, we're here to make mistakes and learn and grow from them. But the goal for me, I think, is to have less and less of those mistakes and to just be more and more disciplined about not allowing those voices to get in the way.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That was amazing. And I love that. And what do you think out of all of that? I mean, you just shared a lot of things, but
I did.
Or, you know, from all of that, what were some of the biggest sources of the growth? I mean, forgiveness, you said, learning to release the ego and release, mm-hmm. like, this sense of, like, I'm better than someone else or I'm worse than someone else, or this sense of separation, right? So, like, feeling more united almost, or, like a sense of oneness with everyone.
Yeah.
Anything else that you feel like has been a part of your inner growth?
Yeah, I think the main thing with all of this is it's returning back to love. And there's a great book Marianne Williamson wrote called A Return to Love.
It's great. It's a great book.
It's also, if you're on this whole journey, read that book as well. But that's kind of been another big piece of it, is returning back to my loving. Because I can get into that aggressive, angry, kind of just ego fiery place. I'm easily aggravated and irritated. But returning back to my loving has kind of been, it's been a game changer. It allows you to soften. It allows you to
And my download was that if you have your Virgo rising, but then you're a Leo, that means you have your sun, so your sense of self, your sense of shining in the world, in the 12th house, which is about meditation, spiritual work.
Oh my gosh.
Going within, like, the inner part of the work of, like, being with yourself.
Wow.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. That's been, like,
you know,
my whole life.
As much as you're really big on, like, the nutrition and the physical health, like, you shine within the spiritual as well.
It's been a really big thing that I've been trying to integrate into my nutritional life.
And, oh my God, and Leo energy is the heart.
Yeah.
So, like, going back to love, like, it's opening your heart also, mm-hmm. which I'm big on too. It's just, like, how can you open yourself more to receive more love and to give more love and to love yourself more?
Exactly. And that's what I try to do with the loving piece, is, like, love everyone, love everything. You can, you know, you can not like people. You can choose not to participate with people or with things in this world. But never take your loving away, because that's your superpower.
Like, don't let it close your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's very real. And I feel like for many years in my life, like, I would let situations or people or my own thoughts close my heart.
And who is that hurting?
And you feel so much, like, of a shrinking.
It's only hurting you. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And I think that really ties into your kind of, like, mission, which is the loving wellness mm-hmm. principle. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. So to tie it back into health and wellness, I practice something I like to call loving wellness. And it's really based on two questions that I like to ask myself. And my mentor, the guy I was mentioning earlier, the spiritual healer, he actually taught me these two questions. And he didn't teach them to me in terms of wellness, but I think that they can really be applied to wellness. So I like to use them in the sense of, you know, what am I feeding my body? What workouts am I doing? And those two questions are, A, is it loving? So going back to the loving piece, is it going to be loving to your body? Like, does your body feel that sense of, like, feels really good, feels loving to me? And B, is it serving me? So is it serving me as in my soul, like my highest good? It's not the question of whether it's serving your ego or serving that quick fix that you want or serving that part of you that wants instant gratification. Is it serving your highest and greatest good, like your highest self? Yeah,
bro, I like I can't. I feel like the more that I learn about astrology and the more people I asked about their astrology, I'm just like, it's there.
No,
service,
it's real.
Is Virgo. Uh-huh. Is it serving me? And heart and loving is Leo.
Oh my gosh,
is it loving?
That's
I'm like
it.
I literally go like, oh my God.
I know, like, Carolina was like, oh my gosh.
Wow. I love that. And I think that's really important, because sometimes we will self-sabotage and, like, you'll do stuff that isn't the most loving to your body or isn't the most, like, you know, beneficial thing or isn't necessarily going to serve who you want to be.
Mm-hmm. And so another piece of the loving is discipline, because I think discipline gets a bad reputation these days. I think just in general.
Do you think so?
In health and wellness, we've gone through the to the other side.
Actually, didn't you make a reel about it
recently? I did. That's why I thought you were being sarcastic when you said, do you think so? Because, like, I talk about it a lot.
Yeah, because I saw this recently, and then I put it together. I was like, no, you talked about it.
Reel. That was me.
No, but, yeah, it's interesting. Dive into that more. Because I don't think that it has a bad rep.
Well, I think discipline gets tied into restriction sometimes. So that's the kind of bad rep I'm talking about. It gets tied into, like, the whole diet culture world. And I think just in general, in this, you know, space that we're in wellness right now, we've swung to the other side of the pendulum. So it used to be restriction, 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 count your calories, count your macros, let's all be skinny. That was the kind of vibe years ago, right?
And though I kind of feel like it's coming back.
It is, unfortunately.
In a not so great way.
Yeah, in a not so great way with Ozempic and all of those things.
And a glorification of, like, the skinny.
Like skinny is back. But aside from that, the place we were at right before all this Ozempic stuff started happening was diet culture. And everything is healthy. And, you know, everything diet culture is bad. And I agree, diet culture is horrible. And we should not feed into it. But not everything is diet culture. And it's so nuanced. And I think with that, taking care of your body kind of got a bad reputation. Like, people who were doing things that were loving to their bodies were seen as restrictive people, even though they had no issues around.
Because it depends on the energy that you're doing it with.
Exactly. And that brings me to my next point with loving wellness is intentional eating and intentional living. That's, like, a big pillar of it. And it's a big thing I teach because the energy with which you do things matters. So what I like to teach is intentional eating. Excuse me. And with intentional eating, you know, I love intuitive eating. I love listening to your body. Yeah, intuitive eating, I mean, if you want to kind of define it, there's 10 core principles. There's a whole book on it. Like,
really?
Yeah, like a dietitian kind of created this whole framework. And I agree with a lot of it. And I don't think it's bad at all. But for me...
What's the dietitian?
Her name is Evelyn Triboli. Yeah. She wrote a whole book. There's also the Intuitive Eating Workbook. And, you know, it's a really great framework if you want to kind of get back into your own self and your needs. And I practice that as well. But I think a big part of it that we're missing with that is the intention behind why you're doing all these things. So for me, what's really important is, you know, why are you eating these foods? Are you eating the foods that love you back? What's your intention behind it? I like to use broccoli as an example because it's a pretty non-controversial food. But for example, you could have someone eating broccoli and they could be eating broccoli even though they hate broccoli because they saw in a magazine that it would make them skinny. They're doing it from a place of self-loathing because they hate their bodies and they want to change it. And they might be eating broccoli because everyone else is, so they're just going with the status quo. That's a very different intention of eating broccoli than someone who's eating broccoli because they love it. They love the way it makes their body feel. They're eating it to get all the nourishment and the phytochemicals and the antioxidants and all the nutrients in the broccoli. And they're eating it because they love their bodies and they want to respect their bodies and do it from that place of self-love. So that's kind of the difference, is really checking in on your intentions behind the foods you're eating. And not only the foods you're eating, but the workouts you're doing, the people you surround yourself with. Like, this is all affecting our health, our minds, our bodies. Like,
yeah,
it's all encompassing. So it's not just intentional eating, it's intentional living.
Yeah, so almost like intuitive eating is the intuition part where it's like,
yeah,
what is your body telling you? Like, listening to your body more, or like listening to that voice inside of your head that's like nudging you. But the intentional living, intentional eating, intentional wellness is just like thinking about the why behind the things that you do and the energy that you're bringing with it.
Yeah, because even you could think intuitively you want to do something, but is that really your intuition, A? Have you done enough work around yourself to know what your intuition's actually telling you? And also, why are you doing it? Like, are you doing it because your intuition is telling you to do this to look a certain way? Or are you doing it because your intuition is telling you, no, your body actually really needs this nutrient right now, so it might be a good idea to have this food? So that's kind of it's the nuance within intuitive eating, I think.
And intuition is very nuanced because sometimes people mix intuition with anxiety a lot.
Yes.
And it's harder to tell than tuning back to the why
and
the energy, which is more clear and more in your control.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that it's hard to do intuitive eating if you haven't done the work, like I was saying, to actually uncover your intuition and differentiate it between your ego. Because your ego will try to tell you things and try to pass as your intuition sometimes, and that's not true.
Yeah, totally. Let's talk about plant-based diets also.
Yes.
Because I want to dive into that, and I haven't talked about it on the podcast yet as much. And, I mean, we've talked about it off camera before, but I used to be vegan. I was vegan for a very short period of time in lockdown. I wasn't eating any meat, any animal products. Like, I cut out everything. Like, I also cut out gluten, and I also cut out dairy, like, all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, pretty deep into orthorexia at that time. And then I added in eggs, and I added in fish. But I still wasn't eating gluten. I still wasn't eating dairy and none of the other meats. And then over time, I have peeled back all of those restrictions on my body. And now I eat everything. Mm-hmm. So first, I added back in red meat because my acupuncturist was telling me that I might need the iron for my cycle.
Uh-huh.
And then I added in chicken and turkey later. And then once I removed that, then I was like, you know what? If I want to go out to an Italian place and I want pasta, like, I'm going to get it. Like, I don't have celiac.
Right.
So that's been my experience. And then the dairy as well. Like, I love Greek yogurt bowls or, like, whole milk every now and then. So I feel like for me it's been really freeing, and I feel much more energized. I feel like I'm glowing more now that I'm eating animal protein again. And also, we've talked about this, but, like, protein is so important for our bodies, for our blood sugar.
So
and if
important.
You're being plant-based, that's where you get the biggest con, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of additives and, like, junk in that we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about your experience with animal meat.
Yeah.
And, like, the process of integrating it back into your life, or just your even, like, perspective as a dietitian on the topic.
Yeah. This is such a nuanced topic, too, because there's ethical implications involved, so it's not black and white.
Yeah.
But for me, and I'll share on my experience, I was vegan for almost 8 years. So when I wrote that
age to what age?
I think it was 14, around 14. It wasn't a full 8 years, but it was around 14, 15 when I wrote that research paper to, how old am I? 23.
So almost 10.
This was a recent switch right after my 23rd birthday.
Okay.
Is when I switched.
So almost a year ago.
Yeah, almost a year ago. And what happened was, you know, veganism actually really served me for a really long time. Because as I said, diving into the nutrition literature and actually learning about how important it is to fuel your body, it made me not scared to eat anymore, which I think was really valuable for me at that time. And I also think that, you know, I was, once again, trying to do my best. I thought this was the healthiest thing for me. I was reading scientific literature. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, these doctors were all, you know, prescribing it and using it in their practices. And so I thought that I was doing the healthiest thing for my body. And it really did serve me for a long time. I felt pretty good for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then my body started kind of giving me little hints and signs that it wasn't working for me anymore. And it was really hard. Those signs were, you know, they were physical.
Mm-hmm.
They were little intuitive hits, but there were physical things going on. Gut issues. My bone density got really low. And, you know, I think that was a consequence of the eating disorder. Those were kind of the most formative years of bone building. And bone density is really hard to build back.
Can you explain to me what that means?
Yeah, bone mineral density is basically like your bone mass, how dense your bones are. So, you know, some people, when they have low bone density, will get osteoporosis. So low bone density is essentially called osteopenia. It's like you're in that range where your bone density is lower than it needs to be.
And then
your bones are not as strong as they need to be. And then osteoporosis is when there's actual porous bones.
Okay.
And that's, you know, going to cause bone fractures, and it's not good. Because when you're older and you have osteoporosis, if you fall, that could be really, really dangerous. So I'm on a mission right now to build my bone density. And that was one of the main reasons that I switched back to eating animal protein. Because I was eating, when I found out my bone density was low, I got a DEXA scan. And I found out, I started eating way more plant-based protein. Like, I wanted my bones to be more dense. I wanted to rebuild bone, but it just wasn't cutting it. And the thing with plant-based protein is that the bioavailability is just
not
there.
And the amino acids also.
Yeah, the amino acid profile is not there either. I mean, soy has a pretty similar amino acid profile, but if you can't tolerate soy or if you just don't like to eat soy, like, what are you going to do? Eat beans all day? And beans are actually primarily a starch. They have a lot of protein in them.
Same thing, like, I think people have this misconception, like, if they're eating nut butter.
Right.
That just because it has some protein, it's a protein. No, it's a fat. It's, like, the same with, like, what you're saying about beans. It's, like, primarily it is a starch.
It is.
And but even, it does have a lot of protein,
even
too.
Nut butter, like, it's it has protein, it has fats, it has carbs, too. Like, it's, nothing is one macronutrient, usually, but... Yeah. When it comes to animal protein, it is actually mostly protein if you get, like, a lean chicken breast or turkey breast, things like that. Like, that is actually mostly protein. And there's a very, very small amount of carbs in animal protein, just, like, mm-hmm. the glycogen left in their body. So, in the meat. So, essentially, the protein is not as high quality. It's not as bioavailable. There's a number that each protein has called PDCAAS, P-D-C-A-A-S. It's essentially the absorbability and the bioavailability of each protein. And, like, eggs and poultry are at the top of that list, and meat. And then, like, when you look at legumes and nuts and things like that, they are not up there.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah, they're lower on the list. So they're literally proven not to be as bioavailable. And they also have limiting amino acids, which essentially means they don't have...
If you're trying to build muscle.
Yeah, they don't have all the amino acids that you need.
Specifically for muscle building, but also for...
But also just for anything, like the essential amino acids that you need to get from food. They don't have all of
that. What are the best benefits of having a good amino acid profile diet?
Well, a good amino acid profile means that you're getting a complete protein.
Right.
And a complete protein is what you need to build muscle for all your other, you know, bodily syntheses and processes, like... You need protein for enzymes, and you need enzymes for metabolism. Like, everything that you do requires protein. Your hair, your nails, these are all made of protein. So if you want to build muscle, if you want to grow your hair, if you want to grow your nails, if you want to optimize your body's functioning, you need bioavailable complete protein.
Yep.
So.
Wow. Yeah. And so if someone listening has been almost in this, like, ingrained, not diet culture mindset, but, like, belief that plant-based diets are always better. And let's peel back the ethical side of, like, maybe the climate and, you know, like, carbon benefits of eating a more plant-based diet, or, you know, you don't want to eat animals because you love animals. Like, removing
right.
that just, like,
right.
from a purely nutritional perspective. Like,
yeah.
maybe they feel like their body isn't tolerating it anymore very well, or, like, their hair isn't as strong, or they want to build more muscle and they want to eat protein again, but they're scared or they don't know how to start. What would you recommend?
Yeah, kind of going back to what I was feeling, along with the low bone density, I had lots of gut issues. My hormones were out of whack, acne, my blood sugars were very dysregulated, and we can talk about that a little more if we have time, but those were all of the reasons. So my body was screaming at me at this point. And the mindset shift that I had to have, and this is what I would tell anyone else if they're in that place. And look, if you feel amazing and you're hearing what I'm saying and you're like, wait, I feel really great, that's awesome. But really be honest with yourself, first of all, because I was telling myself I felt great and I wasn't. And my hair was falling out, like all these things. There were so many things going on. And the other thing I would say is be honest with yourself, but also we have to do whatever is necessary for our health. Like, by all means necessary. I didn't want to eat animal protein. Like, I would love to be vegan still. I think it's easier. Mm-hmm. I think it's, for me, just because I'm so used to it, I think it tastes mm-hmm. better in a lot of cases. But I am willing to do whatever I need to do for my health. And that's sort of the mindset you have to go into it with.
Yeah.
It has to be that brutally, like,
honesty is
ruthless.
So important.
Yeah.
Like, you have to literally be ruthless, and you have to be like, in what ways am I lying to myself? Like, what am I telling myself to protect this current identity or this current reality or my current beliefs because I'm scared
yeah.
to change? And even for me, I mean, the biggest reasons I reintroduced it was I felt like if I was at a restaurant and my fiance was ordering a burger, I wanted that burger too, but I
yeah.
wasn't allowing myself to have it. Or I live with a Brazilian family where we eat a lot of meat, and so I would go home and I would feel so restricted, and I low-key wanted to, like, generationally, like, genetically, like, I think
yeah.
I need some of those nutrients. And also, like, for me, it was a big reason for me also was the hormone balancing, like, mm-hmm. both from a cycle perspective of needing the iron and, like, the nutrients, but also the blood sugar balance, because I know Huge. You just mentioned it, but it's, like, to truly have blood sugar balance, you need protein. Like, yes, you need fiber, you need healthy fats, but protein is so important, because if the protein is not there and you're just having carbs and healthy fats, like,
it's not
that's
enough.
Not the most it's not beneficial enough. Combination necessarily.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is practicing non-attachment. So there's two things, actually, I want to say about this. One, our bodies are always changing, right? Mm-hmm. So the same thing that worked for me 5 years ago is not going to work for me today. And the same thing that works for me today isn't going to work for me 5 years from now. Like, we're always changing. Our cells are literally changing every single second. Our bodies are changing. Our thoughts and beliefs are changing. Our mindsets are shifting. The science is changing. Like, we're learning newer and newer things every day. So we can't expect the same thing to always work for us. So we really have to practice this non-attachment when it comes to our diets, our routines, our health. Like, I didn't have the same morning routine 5 years ago. I don't think you did either. That's always shifting Mm-mm. too. So same thing with your diet, same thing with the exercise that you do. Like, that's going to probably change for me too. Maybe I'll get into weightlifting in 5 years, but right now, like, Pilates is really serving me.
But then again, it's not like just because things are changing all the time, don't let that get in the way of your discipline and of showing up for the things that are working right now.
Exactly. But with the veganism thing, for me, I was attached to it, right? It became a part of my identity, and I wasn't allowing myself to evolve. And then I did, and then I felt really great after. Gut issues went away, no more bloat, energy, so much better. My hormones are so Wow. much happier. My blood sugar is finally regulated. And now I teach other people to do the same so that they don't have to deal with these things. Gut issues, hormonal imbalances, like, these things are very normalized these days, and they're not normal. And we Yeah. shouldn't have to live with chronic health issues. Like, that is not normal. So that's one thing I'll say. And then the other thing is that the same thing that works for me isn't going to always work for you, and vice versa. So there's bioindividuality too. And we have to really stop comparing ourselves to other people, because you might be listening to this, like I was saying earlier, and you might think, you know, veganism works for me, so
exactly
whatever.
Like, and I think it's like the more you know, the better. And yeah. education is so important. So yeah. sometimes you're learning about something, and that's gonna light something inside of you where
exactly.
you maybe feel it resonates so much,
yeah.
and you're like, maybe I should try this. But don't necessarily try to copy everything that person's doing.
No,
right? Or with anyone, really. Just like always tune back to yourself.
Yes. And again, your why is so important. So going back to the intention piece, like, even your intention with the diet you eat as a whole is important. And my intention in the beginning for veganism was really good, I think. And then it became sort of this identity thing, and my ego wanted to be vegan because, you know, I thought it was better and I thought it was superior. And that's going back to the kind of separateness of kind of making myself superior to other people. And really having to go back and understand that, you know, out of God comes all things, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it. And so there is no better or worse. And also, if you're not setting up a conscious intention, and this is another thing I learned from my mentor, you're letting your subconscious run your mind. And your subconscious is filled with programming. It's filled with things that you're hearing in the media that your ego is telling you, like, it's not you,
wow.
right? And so if you're letting your subconscious run your life and set up your intentions for you, if you're not doing it consciously, then that's going to be all the negative talk that you hear. It's going to be that toxic diet culture you hear. It's going to be, oh my God, this food's going to make me fat. This diet's going to make me fat. Like, whatever you're thinking, that's going to run your life. So being intentional about the diet that you eat, about the foods that you eat on a day-to-day basis, about everything you do, I can't stress enough how important it is.
Yeah, wow, I haven't heard that in a long time, because, I mean, I've read so many podcasts and listened to so many, you know, read so many podcasts. I literally said that. I've read so many books.
I didn't even process that.
I've read so many different books and listened to so many different podcasts and
right.
just consumed a lot of information around this, but the way you just said that really clicked something for me, where it's like, when we hear, you know, I always say this. I'm like, I want to be a conscious parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once I have my kids, like, I want to be a conscious parent.
Yeah.
Right? And I used to always say that. Or I used to say, you know, I had my spiritual awakening. Awakening is just, like, bringing light to your consciousness and to your subconsciousness, too. So that way of thinking about it, where it's like, if I let my subconscious rule the show, then I, you know, am coming from a place of my limiting beliefs or just all the programming that maybe doesn't serve me, but also working through your subconscious to try to understand what are those limiting beliefs, and working through that is shining consciousness on that subconscious. And then over time, you become a more conscious being, aka a more intentional and more just grounded and sure of yourself person.
Yes. And that's a lot of the work that I do, is trying to go into my subconscious and clear those limiting beliefs. But there's always more layers, and there's always more ways to peel back, you know, to the core of the onion, and there's always going to be more to clear. So that's why it's so important to consciously try to do things in your life.
And to be mindful of the spiritual ego and being in that spot of like, yes, well, I know everything now. It's like, oh no, there's always more to learn. There's always more to grow from. And you always have to be in that learner's mindset.
The more you know, you actually realize the less that you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I need to learn more and more now that I'm at this place of knowledge. Whereas like 8 years ago, I probably thought I knew everything.
True.
Which is hilarious, but same, we really don't know so much.
Yeah, exactly. So let's do some rapid fire questions to close out this episode. I feel like we could literally talk for hours.
I know.
We just said a few intentions before we hopped on to record, and I was like, I know it's going to flow, and we don't even have to worry about like exact like, you know, play by play of this conversation.
No, we did not plan any of that.
Yeah, and it was amazing. So thank you so much. And let's do the rapid fire. Yes. So, first question is, do you have a mantra or a quote that you live by or that you love?
Yeah, I have a few. The first one, I've said this a few times, but out of God comes all things. And to really be conscious of not separating myself from the oneness of, you know, all of us. And then another one that I really love is that we create, promote, or allow everything in our lives. Another one my mentor told me.
We create, promote, or allow
everything in our lives. And you know, that's going back to taking yourself out of that victim mindset. Like, we're responsible for our lives. And I know you know this and talk about this a lot, but it's not to say that there are no victims and that bad things don't happen. And it, like, I'm not trying to tell you that if a bad thing happened to you, it's your fault.
But the victim mindset a lot of the times is a comfortable place because you're detaching yourself from your personal responsibility and and also your power, because you're able to change your life if you want it to. And if you actually... Yeah, you know, look at yourself with honesty.
The people with the worst of circumstances have come out of that and risen to the top. And it's all about how we react to things, how we respond to things. Like, we have control over that. And we also are creating and promoting and allowing how people treat us. Like, we teach people how to treat us, right? So if someone's treating me not well, I'm allowing that at the end of the day. So it's about taking promoting? Responsibility. Promoting, like, it's the same thing. I'm promoting this behavior. So if someone is, I don't know, if like someone's being annoying or whining or putting their limiting beliefs on me, like, I'm promoting that by, you know, like almost going along with it and enabling it. Yeah,
I love that. So I'm definitely taking that away from this conversation. And do you have any books that you would recommend to anyone listening?
Yeah, so if a lot of the spiritual stuff that I've said resonates with you, there's actually a book that kind of describes all of it. It also has like a step-by-step on a lot of the tools that I mentioned and other tools that I didn't mention that I do, like free form writing, which is essentially where you write and then you let your subconscious, anything, like write what you need to write and then you burn it.
Is it Course in Miracles?
No, it's called Spiritual Warrior, this book. Okay. It also, and it has the type of meditation that I do, if anyone's interested.
Wait, that sounds really familiar.
It's by John Roger, the guy I was telling you about earlier. Yeah. And it's so short, so easy to read. Like, it's amazing. So that's a really good one. And another one that I love is The Four Agreements, which I mentioned, and The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer.
Oh, my God. Recently, so many guests have been recommending that one.
You have to read it.
Because I've read Untethered Soul.
Right. So Untethered Soul is, like, his spiritual teachings. And The Surrender Experiment is kind of the story of his life and how he came to those spiritual teachings. It's really cool.
I have to read it. Yeah. I have to. Okay, next question. What makes you feel like your higher self
or your best self? I love this question. I think for me, being of service is a huge one, which goes back to my chart probably, like you were
Virgo
saying.
Virgo rising energy.
I feel like my highest self when I'm of service, and also at the end of my meditations, like, I am her at the end. That's how I feel.
Love that. Love both of those. It's like, again, your chart. It's like Leo, like a post-meditation, like Leo in the 12th house. 12th house is spirituality and meditation, right? And okay, silence. Yes. And inner work.
Oh, silence. And it's love silence.
After the silence, the Leo shines. Oh,
the best. Which is funny because Leos are known to be like the center of attention, and they love to kind of like they're social, they're out there, but like.
But it's like maybe you are taking the center stage when you're helping other people go within and maybe find more of the silence within themselves.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, because I find that the more I grow, the more I like silence, and the less I need to be the center of attention.
Wow.
Because I used to be very, you know, all over the place in that sense.
It's a little piece of your puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And then last question is, if someone didn't listen to anything except this part, what would you want to leave them with?
Oh, these are such good rapid-fire questions.
Thank you. I do them in every episode, and I'm always so excited to see what comes out. Oh, my gosh.
I love this one. I would say that, I mean, I'm sure someone has said this before, but really, like, you are worthy. And you're not worthy for any reason. Worthiness doesn't have prerequisites. Like, you're worthy because you're divine, because you're a child of the universe of God, like in A Course in Miracles says, like, we are all children of God. And once you can actually kind of understand that, you realize that, like, you don't need to do anything in order to be loved, in order to make your dreams come true. And today I was actually listening to this podcast with Ed Milet, and he was saying that, you know, we all, like, have these limiting beliefs of, like, I need qualifications to help people. And we really, like, self-sabotage ourselves by making ourselves think that we disqualify from being able to help others, from living our dream lives, from deserving the things that we don't think that we deserve. And he was saying that, like, everything that you've gone through up until this point qualifies you to help people who have been in your position, qualifies you to help people in general and to be the best version of yourself and to make your dreams come true. So you don't need any qualifications. Like, you are qualified, you are worthy.
And one of my favorite podcasts is called In Hindsight, or just Hindsight.
Okay.
But like HINDZ, like Hindsight.
Uh-huh.
And he always says your credentials or your qualifications are in your spirit.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I love that.
And I love that, right? Yes. That's exactly what you're saying. Yeah. So perfect note to end this on.
I know.
Can you share where everyone can work with you or follow you or listen to your podcast?
Yeah, so you can find me at Ava Nouri Wellness, AVANOURI Wellness, on TikTok and Instagram, and I'm also taking one-on-one clients. So you can find me on AvaNouriWellness.com. You can sign up for my newsletter there, and then the podcast is called Thoughts on Thriving, and you should listen to my episode with Carolina. It was one of my favorites.
I love it. We'll have all of that linked, including the episode and your website and everything. So thank you so much for listening, thank you so much for coming on the pod. This was
fun.
To everyone listening, remember to water yourself and to take care of yourself. And until our next episode, I hope you have an amazing rest of your week.
Yay. Bye.